Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
All right. Well, welcome to Noon to Three with Chad Hartman. The only exception today is Chad's not here. This is former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty filling in for Chad just for today. He has the day off, and we hope he's doing something important or enjoyable. And, of course, we will all miss him on the radio today, but we're going to fill in admirably. We're going to talk this next few hours, noon to three, about all kinds of interesting and important issues, hopefully in a non-obvious way. That's going to include the Trump issues, the Federal Reserve's decision today on interest rates, education reform, the federal budget, the state budget, and so much more. But before we get into that, I have something I need to get off my chest about WCCO radio, or at least investigate it or review it. And I'm joined today by super producer Dave Harrigan. And Dave, you probably have an appreciation for just how passionate people are about the NFL and pro football. You see it in the turnout, the television ratings. You understand that, right?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it takes over the country every Sunday during NFL season.
People really get into it. And apparently, this is the case with Jimmy Garoppolo, who you may know signed with the now Las Vegas Raiders, formerly the Oakland Raiders. And, of course, they are in Las Vegas. And in Las Vegas, apparently, prostitution is legal, unfortunately. And when Jimmy arrived there and signed with the Las Vegas Raiders, one of the more famous local brothels announced that he would be eligible at the brothel for sex for life, because they were very excited about him, apparently, as a quarterback, but also had some positive things to say about his appeal otherwise. And if for our listeners who don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo is sort of known as Jimmy GQ. He's sort of a quarterback who plays sort of like Kirk Cousins, but he's gets a lot of attention because of his personal appearance, I guess. So, Dave, I don't know if sex for life, you know, as a former governor, I have to be careful about who I associate with, what companies I associate with. And I want to just make sure that there's no sex for life provision in the WCCO employee handbook. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in the handbook, but I do want to, you know, just do my due diligence and, you know, take a look through that thing, fine tooth comb that. We'll look at the employee handbook. We'll look at union agreements for you. We'll make sure. I'm not aware of it, but like I said, maybe it's something to look into just to make sure.
Yeah, diligence. Yes. But I've never heard of that as a benefit, but it's caught my eye, and I want to make sure we're all on the up and up here on WCC Radio 830. Again, this is former Governor Tim Pawlenty. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours with you, our listeners. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's start with something that's an obvious topic, but a sub-point within the topic is not so obvious. And I have a view. I'm sure our listeners have a view on many of these topics we're going to be talking about today. And we invite your feedback. We invite your participation and engagement with us. At any time during this broadcast, you can text me at Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. That number is 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Dave will try to call out some of those texts either to me or on the air, and we'll get to them as soon as we possibly can. But the first topic I want to tee up today is the Trump hush money Stormy Daniels case that's getting a lot of attention, almost hourly attention now in the national and local news. And of course, the obvious point is there appears to be credible allegations against Trump for having an affair slash tryst with porn star Stormy Daniels, and then trying to cover that up with a hush payment that allegedly violates campaign laws. And so we're all familiar with that. It's unfolded, of course, over the last number of years, and it's gotten a lot of publicity. And so this prosecutor out in New York may or may not get an indictment of him through the grand jury or otherwise, and we'll see in the coming hours or days how that unfolds. But I want to call to your attention something that a local prominent attorney wrote in the Star Tribune today, and it was an op-ed. This attorney's name is Marshall Tanick. I know him. We have very different political views, but he's sort of a thoughtful person when it comes to free speech and lots of other issues, and he contributes to the Star Tribune. But he wrote a column for the paper that said basically this. You have to be careful when you're a prosecutor to not call out ahead of time who you're going to prosecute before you've gathered the evidence and presented it to a grand jury. And in this case, this prosecutor in New York, and again, my view of Trump is, I hope the Republican Party finds somebody else to run in 2024. The Republican Party, my party, can do a lot better than him. And I hope they do. And we'll talk more about that later in the show separately. But on this issue of the prosecutor's behavior, Marshall Tanik, this prominent lawyer in town, highlighted the background of the Bill Cosby case, of all things. And Cosby, as you know, did allegedly and terrible things. But eventually on appeal got from underneath the criminal charges because the prosecutor had told him that if you are willing to testify in a civil case that your accusers are involved in, you know, we won't bring criminal charges. And that was sort of the way that Bill Cosby got out of his charges. But the broader point is it was prosecutorial misconduct because Cosby testified in the civil case but still got criminally charged. And that was a key reason why that case was ultimately dismissed on appeal. It was prosecutorial misconduct. So here in the Trump case, we have a gentleman who ran for office and basically said, you know, paraphrasing, that I'm going to go after Trump. I'm going to, you know, get him charged and potentially convicted, and pre-announced that in the campaign. It was a part of his campaign pledge running for office. So what difference does that make? It makes a difference because you have a prosecutor who hasn't seen or gathered the evidence, hasn't called or heard from witnesses, hasn't heard from or received feedback from the grand jury, and yet says ahead of time, I'm going to prosecute this person, sort of a prejudgment. And Marshall Tanik, this local attorney, calls out this concept baked into our Constitution, appropriately so in my view, that was in response to the pre-revolutionary American government being upset about England passing bills of attainder, which called out specific individuals for prosecution. And when they put together the American Constitution, they prohibited that. They said, we can't have the police power of the state being used against specific individuals. You can use it against behavior that you find inappropriate or bad or criminal, but you can't put into the law or into this system the notion that ahead of time you're going to go after certain individuals. So he suggests that that alone should disqualify this prosecutor from prosecuting Trump. And, you know, it makes you wonder, Dave, when you listen to that, do you really think we want to live in a country where prosecutors, before they gather the evidence, before they hear the testimony, before they present to the grand jury, are going to say, I'm going after Dave Harrigan. I don't like Dave Harrigan. I think he's a bad dude. I'm going to use the power of my office, the chilling power of my office, and potentially put you or your family in jail. I just don't think that's right to have people politicize prospective prosecutions before they even look at the evidence. What do you think, Dave?
Well, good luck to them if they're coming after me. I've covered up all of my misdeeds very, very carefully, Governor. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. In theory, you don't want that. You want the due diligence to be done. You want them to go through the proper, you know, proper channels, the proper precautions to go, you know, go through the weight. Our system is, you know, built with, you know, checks and balances and certain ways things have to be done. Or, you know, like you said, in the Bill Cosby case, it certainly seemed like he was guilty of a lot of things criminally. But in the end, because of a technicality or things that were done wrong by the prosecutors, you know, he's walking free today. So, yeah, I certainly do not want that. I don't want my name brought in the news if something were to happen like that before any charges were even decided upon. That's certainly not fair to any American.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I am hopeful that Trump leaves the scene for other reasons. And my own personal opinion, based on what I've seen, is in terms of this case, the Stormy Daniels case, he's probably should be in legal trouble. But you can't, in my view, you can't have prosecutors pre-announcing political charges before they've even gathered the evidence. This is WCCO Radio 830. This is former Governor Tim Pawlenty filling in for Chad Hartman today. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the unintended consequences of people trying to help the poor, but actually hurting the poor. with the unintended consequences of public policy. We'll be right back right after this.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
All right, we're back on Noon to Three without Chad Hartman. This is Tim Pawlenty filling in for Chad, and we're glad you're listening in as we continue through our Noon to Three program. We're going to talk in this segment a little bit about the law of unintended consequences, in this case, as it relates to crime and other behavior. And of course, we in Minnesota in particular are very familiar with the concerns about public safety and the concerns about police and the need for police accountability and reform, but at the same time, trying to make sure that our streets and our communities and our people are safe. And so one of the things that's happened in our country, both in terms of law enforcement and in terms of prosecution, is the decision to not enforce very vigorously certain crimes, because we don't want to, the theory goes, we don't want to create undue problems and records for people who are already disadvantaged or have other life challenges. So one of the things you need if you are a disadvantaged person is to have access to groceries, hopefully affordable and convenient access to groceries. You also need to have access to transportation and a number of other things. I want to read to you some comments from the Walmart CEO. He was on a CNBC not too long ago, and he talked about why they were closing stores in Portland, Oregon, which has become a semi-chaotic city that many people, including me, would not want to live in. In any event, he said in relevant part that shrink, close in quote, that's an industry term for theft, has become a real issue. He says, quote, theft is an issue. It's higher than what it has historically been. And then he went on to say, I think local law enforcement being staffed and being a good partner is part of that equation. If that's not corrected, prices will be higher and stores will close. The company did not say whether the retail theft was a factor in shuttering Walmart locations in their areas in Portland, but a number of commentators have said that is likely the case. So now we have news in Minnesota, in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, that Walmart is closing their Brooklyn Center store. And you might say, well, who cares? It's Walmart. There's other stores. People can go to that. It's not always true, depending on where you live, whether you have convenient access to groceries and other things on an affordable basis, household necessities. And so this article recently announcing this store closure went through and talked about the people impacted by this, most of them elderly, some of them struggling through the ability to afford or get geographic access to things. And so the refusal, if this theory is correct, the refusal to be more diligent when it comes to shoplifting and keeping people and stores and property safe now leads to not just some hooligans, not just some young people engaged in shoplifting go free, which is bad enough, but now we have the community more broadly being directly impacted as to their ability to conveniently, hopefully affordably access groceries and other life necessities. So that is an unintended consequence. And the same thing is happening now on light rail. So we have, and transit more broadly, we have a very, very expensive transit system in Minnesota. Some of the subsidies involved in some of these lines are preposterous. I mean, preposterous, the amount of per-ride subsidy. In some cases, we have near zombie-like buses traveling around the Twin Cities with almost no one on them, with a high expensive bus and an expensive driver. But the intention of those systems initially were to try to get everybody or many people to use them because they're convenient and efficient and economical, and now they become actually a place that frightens many people, many commuters, and they won't go on them in part because it's not safe. And Channel 4 television came out with an expose the other day showing in video form all the drug dealing, open air markets. There's been all kinds of news around how violent and dangerous the transit system has become. And of course, our government officials have tolerated this under the guise of, look, these are people have no other place to go. They're in some cases homeless. In some cases, they may have other life challenges like mental health challenges, and we can't remove them, you know, summarily from the transit system. Okay, those people do have life challenges, but the impact on everybody else, and guess who's mostly using transit? People who can't afford cars, not in all cases, but a lot of them, people who used to use, formerly use transit, were people who had, in many cases, modest economic means. The people with money can go get a car, can go park their car in a ramp, can drive around. And again, the unintended consequence of going easy on it with respect to our transit system becoming basically a crime scene on wheels in many cases is deterring other people who need transit from using it in a safe and convenient fashion. So again, we have to not only look at what the original intent of a lot of these initiatives are, but the second and secondary effects and tertiary effects of these policies. And it's time we get back, and we'll talk a little bit more about it through the break, to say if you can't take care of yourself, we have to have the ability within legal rights, civil rights, to get you some help. And we're not just going to let you camp out on transit and other places throughout the Twin Cities metro. You're listening to WCCO 830. This is Tim Pawlenty. We're going to be back after this break to talk about illegal immigration into the United States. And we'll talk to a nonpartisan thought leader on that topic right after this. Thanks for being with us. Oh, so true. We're not perfect, but we try. And during the break, we received a call from a WCCO listener saying that she was disappointed in my covering up for Trump. Maybe my message wasn't quite so clear, but we certainly want to respect our listeners' input. But what I tried to say, and by the way, this article in the Star Tribune that was written about why Trump may or may not be guilty, but the prosecutor shouldn't be saying ahead of time before he's heard the evidence that he was going to get after Donald Trump, essentially. And I hope the Republican Party moves on from Donald Trump. I know we can find somebody better. And I hope that it tends to be the case. And I've had a lot of things to say about Donald Trump to the negative. And the person who wrote the article, by the way, is also Marshall Tannock says he's not a Trump supporter. He wrote it from a not Trump supporter perspective. But the point was, if you're going to prosecute somebody, you got to do it the right way. And the right way isn't to say, I'm a candidate for office. I'm not even a prosecutor yet. I haven't seen the evidence. I haven't impaneled a grand jury. I haven't heard from witnesses. I'm just going to go prosecute fill in the blank person. If it's Trump, maybe if you're anti-Trump, you get excited about that. But if it's you or your family, maybe it's a different story. So we have to look at the precedent, the unintended consequences of this type of behavior. So enough about all of that. We're on 830 WCCO. This is former Governor Tim Pawlenty filling in for the one and only Chad Hartman. We're here from noon to three today. Thanks for listening in. We're going to turn our attention now to one of the biggest challenges facing the United States of America, and that is the challenge of illegal immigration into our country. And again, both sides, we're so tired of both sides yelling at each other about issues, keeping them alive for political purposes and fundraising, but it seems like many instances they just don't want to solve the problem because they use it and continue to use it for their own agendas. And no real effort is made to try to improve the situation or solve the problem. And that's where our next guest steps in. Orion Clancy is the chief strategist for No Labels. It's an organization that is bipartisan, nonpartisan. They try to tackle big issues, bring Republicans and Democrats together, almost a lost art, to try to forge solutions. Ryan, like I said, is the chief strategist for that organization. He's been with them since 2011, and he's thought a lot about some of the biggest issues in our country, including this issue. Ryan, thanks for joining us on WCCO Radio this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you and I have had a couple of interactions over the internet and otherwise, but one thing that caught my eye is you distributed not too long ago some data about the magnitude of the problem in the United States relative to other advanced or developed countries. And it was sort of eye-popping. Can you share with our listeners that data without, you know, going through each line, just kind of give us the takeaways?
Sure. I mean, the high-level takeaway is that if you look at other developed countries and the amount of illegal immigrants that they have in their country relative to their population, the United States is far and away the biggest outlier. So to just give you, if you assume, and people disagree on the numbers, but there's about 15 million undocumented people here, That's about 4.5% of our population. Well, the UK's got about 1.5%, Germany 1.3%, Italy 0.5%. So you get the point. I mean, we have a problem that is notably worse than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it looks like almost a multiple of some of these other countries and others that you mentioned. So, Ryan, again, where people, I think, have, I don't want to say made up their minds, but people have sort of hardened their positions about all of this. But you, as a representative of No Label, step in and say, you know what? This is not impossible to try to improve. And you've put out some proposals that might have features that are attractive to some Republicans and some Democrats. It might also have some things in it that would be, you know, uncomfortable for Republicans and Democrats, but you're trying to forge a compromise to at least do something. The thing has been dragging on for decades. From a No Labels standpoint, what are the solutions or the proposals that you're working on that might get enough bipartisan support to actually address the issue?
Well, you know, before we even talk about solutions, I mean, I think the thing we so often miss is that because this issue is so politicized, like all of us, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, we have to agree that this is a problem. And by a problem, I mean, it's a problem for everybody. It's a problem for Americans, but it is a problem for so many poor and desperate people who are trying to get here and are being victimized by human traffickers and drug cartels. Speaking of which, the amount of fentanyl coming across our border, I mean, the amount last year that came across, I know it's shocking to hear this, it was enough fentanyl to kill 3 billion people with a B. So the point is, this is not working for anybody. And some of the common sense things that we all need to be able to rally around is, yes, there's investments in border security, which might mean physical barriers, more agents. Really, the root of the problem, and I'm sure you know this well, is our asylum system is so broken. And that is more than anything the root of the problem right now.
Yeah. And again, we're talking on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline with Ryan Clancy, who is one of the leaders of a group called No Labels. They try to forge bipartisan or nonpartisan compromise. It's a lot of hard work, but they do make progress. And every once in a while, when one of these big issues gets tackled, they're often right in the middle of it. Ryan, let's talk about that asylum or refugee part of this, because I think people don't always distinguish between, of course, we want to welcome people who are politically persecuted or facing violence or terrible retaliation in their country. But it seems pretty clear that a good number of people coming who seek refugee status, asylum status, have been told what to say to check. So the person who's the intake person, you know, checks the box and they get in, even though they may not be what was truly intended originally as somebody who should be get granted permission to enter for asylum. Could you say more about how that system's being manipulated or distorted beyond its original intent?
Yeah, I mean, look, since the 1940s, the United States has had an asylum system, which, you know, it speaks to what's best about this country, which is if you are someone in another country and you are facing religious or political persecution, you can come here and you can claim asylum. And we've always accepted people under those terms. What's happening now, unfortunately, is the standard for that is really supposed to be, I am afraid for my life because I am being religiously persecuted, politically persecuted. What is happening now is people are coming who aren't facing that challenge. They're just are coming for economic opportunity. And we, of course, understand why they'd be doing that. But what's happening is they recognize that if they just come to a port of entry and say, I am seeking asylum, and as you noted, they sometimes have been coached as to what to say. What happens is, in a lot of cases, they then come into the country and are then released into the country until they have their asylum hearing. But that could be months or years sometimes. And so we often lose track of these people.
Yeah, and I also want to just talk a little bit about the human trafficking part of this or the human smuggling part of it. I don't have the figures in front of me, but they had some data around the estimated amounts paid to so-called coyotes or human smugglers for the fee that they get for transporting and facilitating, you know, the illegal entry into our country by folks you know, south of the border in particular, but not limited to the south of the border. And it's gone through the roof. I mean, it's gone from, I forget the number, but it's exponentially grown that's the amount of human smuggling for a fee, just in the last few years. Do you have any insights or data that would back that up or that you can share with us?
It's horrific. It's horrific. Imagine, I mean, this is to paint a picture. You know, imagine you're a family, you're in Guatemala, and you get to the Mexican, their southern border somehow. And now you're looking for paths to the U.S. border. And that's the moment where these traffickers will exploit these people. They might charge them $6,000, $8,000. In a lot of cases, it's probably everything they have. And they may or may not actually get to the border. Along the way, they may be exploited. There's horrific instances of rape, child abuse. And then when they get to the border, we've all seen these horrific stories where they get stranded in tractor trailers. And so the level of exploitation on a purely human level is horrific. But then the other thing that's happened, as you noted, is the cartels are getting billions of dollars in revenue from doing this. And so it is true that right now the only people, the only entities that America's immigration system really works for is the cartels right now. It's great for them. It's bad for everybody else.
We're going to continue this discussion after the break. We're talking to Ryan Clancy, who's the chief strategist for a nonpartisan organization called No Labels that tries to find solutions. I think we've now, in this segment, documented the problem, or at least talked about the problem or the challenge. And after the break, we're going to talk to Ryan about the solutions and why our United States Congress and presidents, regardless of party, over a long period of time, haven't done a darn thing about this, or very much anyhow, not enough to address these problems in any way. So WCCO Radio 830, this is former Governor Tim Pawlenty. We'll take a short break and be right back after this break. We are back on Noon to 3 with Chad Hartman. This is Tim Pawlenty filling in for Chad. We're continuing our discussion now about the challenge of illegal immigration or undocumented immigrants coming into the United States. We have a guest on the line. It's Ryan Clancy, who's the one of the leaders of No Labels organization, working on these issues and many other big issues, trying to find and forge bipartisan solutions. Before the break, we talked a little bit about how the United States has, as a proportion of our population, more illegal or undocumented people than almost any other advanced or developed country by far, multiples in many cases, fentanyl issues, drug issues, human smuggling, human trafficking, and the list goes on and on and on of the challenge. Ryan, let's talk, though, about why two things. Why the two major parties seem utterly incapable or unwilling to make any progress on these issues, with some modest exceptions that the presidents have ordered with through executive orders and the like. And, you know, in an ideal world, what is the No Labels organization proposing as solutions to these challenges?
Well, Tim, unfortunately, you know, the answer to the first question is a lot of people in Washington have decided they'd rather campaign on this issue than to solve it, right? I mean, so it's not as if anybody doesn't really know the outlines of some of the solutions here. So everybody knows when you think about the problems we talked about, you do need more Border Patrol agents. You do need more immigration judges to adjudicate asylum hearings. You probably have to rewrite the law about the rules in terms of who can and can't claim asylum for the reasons we talked about in the earlier segment. But neither party is willing to cross their base, and that's why we have this deadlock that we've had really for decades.
Can you describe for our listeners, just in very short terms, what the base on the right and the base on the left expects on these issues, so we can just get a flavor for? I mean, politicians are responding to their base because most of their districts aren't competitive in the general election; they're just worried about their own party taking them out. So, you know, what's the base perspective on this issue from right and left?
It's very simple, unfortunately, is if you are a Democrat, you have a base on your left that will basically categorize any step you make towards border security as either racist, cruel, inhuman. They'll say you want to put children in cages. So that's how they'll try to knock you back from doing any kind of sensible border security. On the other side, what you have on the right is they basically take the position that, look, we need to just deport everybody who's here illegally. And if you're for anything short of that, then you're for amnesty. Well, neither of those positions, mass deportation and functionally open borders, are remotely practical ethical or humane. And by the way, most importantly, it's not where most of the public is. Most of the public wants common sense solutions to both problems. But the extremes have gotten very good at policing their own ranks and not allowing anybody to step out of line.
Thank you. And I should say that if you want to text in some comments or reaction to what Ryan is saying or what I've said, feel free. This is an engagement. We mean it to be for our listeners to – we have a view. We share it. You have a view. We'd love to share it back. So the number to do that is the City's One Plumbing text line, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Even if we don't get to them during our conversation here with Ryan, we'll get to them after the top of the hour break if they come in. So, Ryan, before we go, I want to accomplish two things in the few minutes, just a couple of minutes we have left. I need to give you time to promote or at least let people know where they can find more information about the No Labels organization and let us know what you're trying to do. What is your mission and how can people be helpful if they agree with what you're saying?
Sure. NoLabels.org is where you can find us. We have been working for a decade to try to build a bipartisan governing coalition in Congress. And we're trying to educate people on some of these issues where there is so obviously an opening for a common sense agreement. Later this year, you will be seeing a policy agenda from us, which we really hope will frame up the 2024 race and highlight all these issues where there is so much more agreement than people might think based on what they see, in Washington.
We're talking to Ryan Clancy, who's the chief strategist for the No Labels organization, which he just described. And Ryan, let's now turn to what No Labels would like to see get done to help solve or at least improve the problem of illegal immigration in our country.
Well, look, there is some positive movement, by the way, I should note, in Washington right now. On the Senate side, Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Tom Tillis, Democrat, Republican. In the House, there's a couple of Texas members, Tony Gonzalez, Vicente Gonzalez, Henry Cuellar. They are trying to work on an immigration solution. I think the thing that when people think about, well, what does the solution look like? There's so many things that are broken about the system. And so many questions. What do you do about the border? What do you do about the people that are here? But the common sense compromise that has been staring Washington in the face for a long time is really simple. You trade, on the one hand, significant new investments in border security and a fix to our asylum system. Republicans really like that. But in exchange, you provide a path to permanent citizenship for the Dreamers. And for those of your listeners who don't know what the Dreamers are, these are the kids that were brought here by their parents illegally, often when they were children. The average age of a Dreamer was 6 years old when they were brought to the United States. In other words, these are kids that are living in limbo in our country. America is the only country they've ever known. The vast majority of them are in school, working, or in the military. And most Americans want them to stay here. You can't say you got to leave this country because it's the only country they've ever known. And so that compromise, protect the border, save the Dreamers. 80% of the country would support that in a recent poll we did in December. So it doesn't solve everything, but it starts to get us some of the way there towards fixing the problem.
All right. Well, it's time for the Lindus construction time check, which means it's time to get an estimate on your maintenance-free deck. And it is 12:56. Ryan Clancy, thank you so much from No Labels joining us for this important discussion. We really appreciate it. And to our WCCO listeners, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion and more.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.